Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the R Systems Q1 FY 2018 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kumar Gaurav. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. On behalf of our system, I welcome all participants to Q1 2018 earnings conference call. I am Kumar Gaurav, AVP, Finance and Accounts with our system. Joining us today on this call is Mr. Rake Singh, Managing Director, Lieutenant General Baldev Singh, President and Senior Executive Director, Mr. Abhirag Jain, Director and CTO, and Mr. Nand Sadana, CFO. We will start the call with opening remark on the performance of the company by Mr. Rake, followed by financial overview by Mr. Nand, business overview by Mr. Abhirag, and the closer statement by Mr. Rake. Subsequently, we will open up for a Q&A session. Now, I am going to first read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of the company. Investors are cautioned that this presentation contains certain forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainty. The company undertake no obligation publicly to update or revise any such statement. These statements may undertake revision because of new information, future events, or otherwise. Actual results, performance, achievement could differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statement. Now I am going to hand over to Mr. Rake for his opening comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Kumar. Good morning, everybody. And thank you for being part of this investor call for this Q1 2018. First of all, I would like to present an overview of our systems for the benefit of all those who are joining us in this conference for the first time. Our systems was established in 1993 in California as a software engineering company and is now spread across three continents with 15 development and service centers worldwide. Our system delivers digital transformation services now with new types of innovation and creativity to businesses in various industries, telecom, media and entertainment, retail and e-commerce, banking and finance, manufacturing and logistics, technology and healthcare and life sciences. Our deep industry domain knowledge combined with our expertise in big data, advanced analytics, mobility, IoT and cloud help in transformation of businesses in this digital age. The value we help create is comparable to the oyster delivering the pearl. The oyster pearl metaphor lies at the heart of all that we do for our stakeholders and is reflected in our tagline, caring, innovating, and transforming. It is this value-centric philosophy that has helped us win new customers across the world. During the Q1 2018, we reported revenues of ₹152 crores or $23.6 million. The revenue grew about 10% compared to same quarter last year. We added 150 plus associates over the quarter to support new accounts and ramp up the existing accounts. EBITDA for the quarter was ₹7 crores, which is 4.6%. The quarterly margins were impacted by salary raises, increase in gratuity limit in India and ramp-up costs. Telecom and digital media contributed 28% of our revenues. We served $21 million plus customers during this quarter and added 5 key customers, out of which 2 have potential to become $1 million plus customers. We are witnessing a good traction towards our product engineering offerings, where we partner with customers in their digital transformation. We have a strong balance sheet with shareholder funds of rupees 278 crores and cash and bank balances of rupees 172 crores. The board has recommended an interim dividend of 60 paisa per share. I will now hand over to Nand Sardana, our CFO, to provide a detailed financial analysis.
Thank you, Mr. Reki. Good morning to all. Thank you, everybody, for attending the call. Hope everyone had the opportunity to review our performance of quarter one. I'll first give my comments on the financial performance, which will be followed up by Avirag's comment on the occasion, and then final summing up by Mr. Reki, and then Q&A session. Let me go into detail of each line item of profitability statement. Revenue for the quarter was rupees 152.20 crores or $23.64 million. Quarter-on-quarter decrease of 1.5% in USD terms, but year-on-year increase of 9.66% in USD terms. Traditionally, quarter one is a weak quarter as clients are still in the process of releasing their IT budget, but we started quite well 2018 with 10% year-on-year growth. We have added 5 key customers during the quarter and around 150 associates in this quarter. Getting down to gross margin, it was almost flat at 30.38% as compared to last quarter. Impact of increase in salary, post-retirement benefits in India, decreasing utilization due to ramp-up costs got netted off with project overrun provision in last quarter. Getting down to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses increased quarter-on-quarter by rupees 1.65 crores. It was rupees 39.35 crores in this quarter compared to rupees 37.69 crores in last quarter. The increase is mainly due to increase in sales and marketing expenses and increase in software subscription. EBITDA in this quarter was rupees 6.89 crores or $1.07 million compared to rupees 9.60 crores or $1.48 million last quarter. As a percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 4.53% in this quarter compared to 6.17% in last quarter. Quarter on EBITDA is impacted primarily for regional strength for gross margin and SG&A. With the present pipeline and disciplined execution, we should be able to bring back to double-digit EBITDA in coming quarters. Further, USD and Euro appreciation against rupee should help us in improving margins. Getting down to depreciation, the total expense was rupees 3.29 crores compared to rupees 3.46 crores in last quarter. Other income in this quarter was rupees 1.98 crores compared to rupees 5.06 crores in last quarter. Other income mainly consists of interest income and exchange gains or losses. Interest income for the quarter was rupees 1.74 crores, which is rupees 24 lakh more compared to last quarter due to increasing corpus of funds. The exchange loss during this quarter is rupees 34 lakhs compared to exchange gain of rupees 1.95 crores last quarter. This is due to reversal of mark-to-market gains earlier booked in previous quarter on account of depreciation of rupee in this quarter. As at quarter one, we have forward cover of $12.70 million with average rate of 66.97 and euro cover of 3.15 million with average rate of rupees 80.81. These have already been marked to market at closing rate of 31st March. Our tax expense was rupees 1.66 crores in this quarter as against rupees 3.90 crores in last quarter. Net profit after tax was rupees 3.85 crores or $600,000 compared to rupees 7.32 crores or $1.13 million last quarter. Resultant EPS for the quarter is 31 paisa compared to 59 paisa per share last quarter. Getting down to asset side of the balance sheet, total receivable at the end of March 31st were rupees 114.21 crores compared to rupees 120.76 crores at the end of last December 2017. Cash and bank balance were rupees 171.86 crores compared to rupees 162.16 crores at the end of December 17. We have been constantly generating cash from the business, which is reflecting in higher cash balances. Our system shareholders fund were rupees 277.67 crores at the end of March 18. With that, let me hand over to Avirag for review of operations.
Thank you, Nan. Thanks, everyone, for being on the call.
would like to give you overview of our global operation and customer that we are engaged in. We continue to focus on select key verticals like telecom, media, entertainment, retail, banking and finance, manufacturing, logistics, and technology and healthcare. We have been participating actively in various industry forum seminars. We have been hosting seminars, and that is resulting in a lot of traction with the new clients. We are further strengthening our technical know-how in CRM area, analytics, Salesforce, RPA, IoT, and cloud. We see a lot of potential in this area from our existing clients as well as the new clients. Further on mobility, we work on all the active mobile platforms, be it Android, iOS, hybrid, and a lot of traction in this space. Analytics, we have been investing from last many years now. We have a good practice, many clients, from many clients looking for these services today, from our existing as well as the new clients. Cloud, we are actively working on cloud as well in leading platforms, Salesforce, Microsoft Azure, and Amazon. And these three are needed by every product engineering company these days. In terms of new clients, we have added 5 key clients, and I must say, the last few months have been very good for our new clients. OPD business is showing a good traction, many new orders, as Mr. Rikki has mentioned already. One of the clients that we have recently acquired is a US-based global provider of gift cards. They are leader in the petrol card, and they have engaged our system to develop their card management software as well as their new innovation that they plan to do. We already marshaled the team, and we will be launching this service soon for them. Another one is a leading GPS-based vehicle tracking system in Europe. We have started working with them, and we will be developing their new platform. Third one is a UK-based company enabling new platform for motor retailer and garage operator to engage digital experience. We just started working with them, and we hope this account will grow to a good number soon. Another one is for IBIS, Singapore-based market leader in innovative dairy ingredient solution. They have engaged IBIS to implement Microsoft Dynamic ERP and advanced scheduling system. Another one for Ethernet, they have been engaged by a leading electronic manufacturer who is actually our existing client, but we are going with them for digitizing its solution to manage its yearly budget and rebate for various regional activities and marketing, advertisement, etc. In terms of headcount, we have actually added over 150 plus in this quarter, and from 1994, we have gone to 2154. It is one of the sizable addition in this quarter. In terms of utilization, it is actually decreased from 79.3 to 76.9 because we have added a lot of people, and it is actually ramp up course that we have to, bear. On the annual basis geography, US continue to be 55.7%, Europe 22.7%, Southeast Asia 18.6%, and rest of the world 5%. On client concentration, top 10 clients contribute 36%, with the largest 5.9%. With a brief overview, I will hand over to Mr. Rikki for his closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Amitabh. Let me sum up. We started year 2018 with a 10% year-on-year revenue growth. Our investment in digital technologies is yielding visible results in terms of revenue growth, and we have a strong sales pipeline. We are confident to improve margins by discipline and execution and in revenue growth. Further, the recent spike in USD and Euro will help in improving margins. Our continued focus for 2018 is to partner with clients in building robust and agile solutions. Software engineering continues to be the driver for our profitable growth, and we are investing to strengthen our offerings around digital technology. We are maintaining a strong balance sheet to invest for organic and inorganic growth. That brings us to the end of our presentation today, and I will hand you back to the organizers for any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. First question is from the line of Mohan Swamy as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Just wanted to get a sense, we have increased our hiring this quarter. Now, are these costs fully built in, and does it indicate that the revenues are yet to be billed and the costs have been upfront? That's why our margins have come off, or because I can see the last 4 or 5 quarters, the margins have been in the range of 4 to 6%. So what is the reason for this kind of downward revision in margins now, which is sustained, and our confidence seems to be fairly high? Is it this factor that the billings will start?
Yes, Mr. Swamy, our margin for this quarter is 4.5%. And as we have mentioned, we have added close to 150 associates this quarter. These associates have been added during the quarter. So most of these are for full quarter, but you know, some would have been added in last month or so. So is the revenue. Revenue maybe one third or half of the revenue linked with these 150 associates has been booked. But the full impact will come from quarter two onwards.
Okay.
So apart from this, in fact, one of the reasons we have given for muted margin is the ramp-up cost. So this is a ramp-up cost with some of the clients and also for the new business. So to answer your question, yes, the full impact will come from next quarter onwards.
Okay, okay. But on the margin uptick, we are confident mainly because of the rupee, or is it because of the billing rates we expect from the new customers, etc.?
Actually, Mr. Swamy, it is both. I tell you why. First of all, you see, the utilization has dropped in this quarter. You would notice close to 2.5%, because when you add 150 associates, you know, it takes some time to get them fully utilized. So this is one reason that utilization has dropped. So this utilization should improve by 1 or at least 1.5-2% and next quarter. So discipline execution will definitely happen. And in addition, this quarter, you know, quarter one, as you know, salary raises kicks in. This is, happens every quarter with most of the companies also. And this year, what has happened is that, you know, that the gratuity limit has increased from 10 lakh to 20 lakh. I mean, this is a phenomenon which every company will face or has been facing. So when there is an increase of gratuity limit, the impact on this, on our EBITDA, is around $350,000. So $350,000 on 23 million is close to 1.5%. So 1.5% EBITDA is decreased because of this very factor only. Having said that, we are quite optimistic to improve our EBITDA margin. And off late, since last 2 months, you would have noticed rupee has now, in fact, yesterday it crossed 16, but today also it crossed 68. But last 2 months it has been hovering from between 65 to 67. So with whatever percentage of depreciation of rupee or appreciation of US and euro happens, this will add to our profitability, because India business, the costs are in rupees, as you know. So this will be an adding factor, which hopefully I think should start kicking in from this quarter two onwards.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Thanks.
Thank you. Any participants who would like to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. Is the next question from the line of Bhavok Tripathi as an individual investor? Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted to understand, how do you do your costing of projects? So let's say you're saying we had margins of 12% 2 years ago, or 3 years ago. So when you're any new project is being taken up, how do you quote? I mean, do you work out a margin in that quote? And what is that target margin that you work with? And with older clients, you know, the rupee is going to keep fluctuating. It's going to be up and down. So what is the built-in kind of mechanism for protecting your margin? So as an industry, what has happened that now you're having lower margins? So is it that customers are now fighting your pricing, or is it that globally that there is a downward pressure on pricing? So as a business model, what has changed that overall all the companies are struggling with margins now? So is it a commodity business now? So I'd like to understand, how are we differentiating ourselves? If we are, that, okay, this is a commodity business and now we are concentrating on something else which is not a commodity business, because obviously if you're going to be in a commodity business, then your margins are going to be under pressure. So I just want some idea, one, on how do you quote? So is and how do you ensure EBITDA margins in that quote? Second, as a business, what's going on with the margins? And then what is the areas in which the margins are higher compared to the others? And then do we have an exit plan for the ones which is low margins? I mean, why would any business want to be in sales which are 4% or 3% margins? If your average margin is 4.5%, then there must be some projects in which you're losing money. So have you identified these, and what is your plan for these? So,
sure, Prabhup. I think you have asked several questions, so I'll try to cover as many as I can. Okay, first of all, how we quote. Our business is two kind of business. One is a time and material basis, and one is a fixed cost project basis. Normally, Noida business, I would say 75% to 80% business. I'll answer business-wise. Noida, 75% to 80% business is on time and material basis. In time and material, you have a rate fixed. Normally, our rates, average rates are, you know, it ranges actually. But high can go whatever, $30, low can be to the extent of 2022. So the rates are quite competitive, and in all the projects, there is an escalation clause. The escalation clause is after 2 or 3 years. So this is the way we try to protect our margin for time and real basis. And there are fixed price projects.
But in that, then, when you're saying that you're quoting at a for some at 30 and some at 20, so basically then we're just charging for the time of the associates or with whatever that we're spending time on a certain project. In this, and what is your margin? Because let's say if you're getting 30 in one, you're getting 20 in another one. So then you should, if on 20 you're making some money, then on 30 you should be making like a 60% operating margin. So how do you decide which is 20 and which is 30? And how are you protecting your basic, let's say, 10% margin? So at what is your break even, and what is the industry margins, and why are they under pressure? So, because if, again, I'm asking you, are we a commodity? That means, and they can just walk into any other company. I thought we are differentiating ourselves with knowledge and certain domain knowledge. So, how does Noida price that?
Babuk, I was keen to complete my answer, but on this P&M basis, we have the, again, in Noida, we try to aim at around 20% EBITDA margin in our Noida business, which we have been doing in the past. But what is happening is last 1 or 2 years, we have invested a lot, and we have said that in investor calls also. We have invested a lot in sales and marketing as well as in new technologies. So this is helping us to move from the legacy business towards the digital analytics mobility. And this is what we are targeting, and this is what we are aiming to differentiate ourselves from a traditional IT business. So to answer your question, we are doing different. So the target is to get into a 40 to maybe 40 to 45% gross margin and close to 20-22% EBITDA margin, at least in T&M businesses. Now, on a fixed price project, you know, there is a project and then there is an estimation. They here, sometimes you get a jackpot also. Sometimes the projects, the margins, the EBITDA may shoot up 30-40%, and sometimes you end up in a break-even kind of a situation. Because that's the, you know, in the fixed price business, this will happen. So it's a mix of thing, and we are trying to kind of, the aim of to answer your question is that at least in OPD business, which is our most valuable business, we aim at least 20-22% EBITDA margin is what is our aim. Coming on to the other businesses, I think the other businesses, depending upon, see, like the consulting business in the U.S., traditionally this is not a very high profitable business, but this is very important for us and very complementary to Noida business, as you know, because it opens our you know, door for the OPD business. So there the aim is to get 6-7% kind of a EBITDA. Computers also, off late, it had been getting 10%, but last year had not been very good, and this first quarter also was kind of not that good, but the aim is to get into a 10% kind of a EBITDA. Singapore also, as I mentioned, the last investor call also has turned around, and Ethernet business is now giving 5-6% EBITDA, IBIS business is giving 8-9% EBITDA. So putting all these together, in 2016, you would know that we were close to 12% EBITDA. 2017 had not been great at the back of a lot of investment, new technologies to make ourselves differentiator and not to get into more digital space. We invested a lot in sales and marketing, and this rupee did not favor us, as you know, rupee and euro, we kind of hit by almost 5% in that. So our EBITDA has kind of gone down from 10% to 6% last year. This quarter, 4.5%, there are some visible factors, at least 2-3% EBITDA is impacted because of that, traditionally because Q1 is a weak quarter. Having said that, you know, we are quite hopeful to at least 2-3% improvement in EBITDA in this Q2. Other than the rupee factor, if rupee gets more depreciation kind of a mode, I think it should further improve upon our profitability. But we're keeping the fingers crossed. Last, to be honest, within 2 months, the funnel has been great. Apart from the 5 new customers which we have reported in this quarter, we have added 2 or 3 more customers, where one customer is $1 million customer. Actually, Avirat can give you a little flavor of the last 2 months, the new customer we have added. Otherwise, you are confused.
Yeah, as I was I mentioned, and the last quarter has been a great from sales, and there are actually 2 clients who are $1 million plus, and one of them we are hoping to be giving 2 million plus. And both are in finance domain, and one is a pay card company who are leader in the, you know, this gas petrol card. It's a prepaid card, and they are innovating a new product line, developing some innovative solution, and we are hoping the team to be, you know, a good number, sizable number for us, and account may grow to 2 million soon. That is one client we are ramping up, and that is why we have added like 150 people already. Second client is again into the cloud services. They do a lot of work. They take the unstructured documents. This is a, one of them is Canada-based, and structured and searchable client, searchable documents. They have over 2,000 clients in Canada and that geography in U.S. as well. So a couple of them are really, really good opportunities, and we are hoping some of them will grow big. So funnel looks good.
So, Avira, in that, what is, I'm sorry to disturb, so, but let's say what is the actual technology that we are contributing to those projects? So let's say, other than just any bodies that they need, what is our knowledge, our domain knowledge that is differentiating us, and what is it that we'll be utilizing in those, let's say in the petrol card business? What is it that we are bringing to the table?
Bhavuk, to tell you, in this card business, we have right now 3 clients in the similar space, including, I think I can mention the name, US Bank is one of them, and there are more clients. So we have a lot of domain knowledge. while we went and talked to these clients, we could demonstrate the domain knowledge, and that was our winning point. To build that domain knowledge, we can be also shown them some of the skills and reusable components that we may possibly help them with, and that helps us winning these clients primarily. So as you were saying, you have to show the skill. So domain and technical skills then we demonstrated, and that is what, you know, helps us to win. And actually we were competing against you know, some of the biggies from India, but we actually have beaten them in this.
Now, are you doing all these projects only in America? So from what I understood when Nandu was saying, first of all, what I'd like to know, he's saying, you know, being a technology company, let's not talk in general terms. So he's saying we have invested a lot of money in, you know, the large ramp, new technology and sales and marketing. So is there a number we can put that what was invested in 2016, what was invested in 2017, and what was invested in first quarter 2018, which is not in the regular run of the business? So that means whatever we are investing for the future, or whatever we are investing for moving away from traditional business. So, and why can't that be classified each year as such? That, okay, this was the, so that we know, rather than being right now blind and just saying that, okay, a lot has been invested. So if we quantify that, that it was, let's say, 2 crores in this quarter, or it was...
To put number on what we are investing, in fact, since last 2016, we started investing in 2015 and continued in 16, 17, now almost 3 years, we started with the 5% team, and today we have close to 25% team who is just concentrating on newer technology, digital, analytic, mobility, cloud, and trying to, what happens is that they sit along with the principal account manager or vice president. They sit in the client call. They see that this client, what is the need of this client in newer technologies, and how we can help clients to get more value using the newer technologies. So to answer your question, we started with 5% in 2015 with this initiative, and today we have close to 25, I think, of the employees who are just concentrating, and they are like a staff function. So they are not line managers or the principal account manager handling the client directly, but they are helping the principal account manager to and travel with him to the client side, tell him how they can increase the output, increase the contribution. So putting number would be like, I would say, I think this year we would have spent close to 2 million, and in 2017, we are continuing, so we would have spent close to 5, 6 million in the last 2-3 years, but maybe 2 million can be a fair estimate, which is purely spent on your technologies.
So as an investor, I have no problem if you're investing for differentiation and future, right? I mean, so that's no problem. The company, everybody's happy. But I think it may behoove us to start quantifying that. So whatever it is, if you're right now saying 2 million last year, so that may be 2.5% EBITDA margin. But that is fine, and it is primarily, from what I understand, in people and travel, and rather than hardware or fixed investments. So a team of 25 people may be costing you 5 crores a year or whatever that may be costing you. But, and then the travel, and then, so I think if you start quantifying that, that may be at least for investors like me, because I don't mind. Even if you go to zero EBITDA margin, as long as I know what you're investing in, because obviously nobody wants to be in a commodity business. I'd go buy a cement stock or a steel stock if I want to be in a commodity business. So we buy a technology stock because we are supposed to be innovating and moving towards the future. So if you are, that is very good. But I think we need to just understand then that what is that innovation that we are investing in. And if you're putting these so-called experts into these teams who can come up with new solutions for the customers and suggest new solutions, very good. I mean, and then we'd also like to see that what is it that they are, you know, doing, these 25 people, I'm sure. So if we are moving them towards digitization or analytics or suggesting innovative ways for their business, and if the customers are happy with that, and because of that, they become deeper customers of our systems, excellent, right? So that is what, that'll be music to every smart investor's ears. So, but I think if you just start putting out some more solid numbers to that, so then it becomes, because the dollar, and sitting and praying and keeping our fingers crossed for the dollar to be higher, you know, is like doing farming when you're waiting for the rain gods to smile at you. You know, so you obviously have to move beyond that. So that only can come with knowledge and innovation, that we strengthen our relationship with our customers. So I guess the other question I was trying to ask Avirag is that, is there a particular reason that we do most of our consulting and its OPD work out of Noida is with US? Why don't we do more of that with Europe? So Avirag, what is the reason that our hunting ground or favorite hunting ground is the US on that and not Europe?
No, lately, actually, Bhavik, you are right, actually, to some extent. Lately, we have been doing a lot of work in UK as well, and Canada definitely. So UK, we have good traction. We have added good clients in OPD as well. And we have added actually some sales presence in UK and Europe. Like Europe, I don't know whether we reported in past, we have added 4 or 5 sales person in Europe, few in UK. So we are expanding that territory, and you know, UK we have good win. Europe, some of the wins are, you know, pipeline is good, but wins are yet to come. But we are expanding actually different territories. UK is showing good promise.
In fact, one of the additions out of 5 is from UK.
So, but why I want to tell you this is that, let's say I've got businesses in US and in Europe. What I find in Europe, that the EU sanctions funds, and like in US is a very capitalistic, there is no, the government doesn't really interfere in business beyond a point. But in EU, for digitization and for any kind of technology upgradation of companies, especially in countries which are getting added to EU of late. So let's say Portugal and Poland and, you know, all these areas. The EU grants are almost like each company gets money from the governments in their respective countries to the tune of, you know, even a small company can go and ask 5 million, 10 million euros. And this is, some of it is subsidy and some of it is 1% financing for 20 years or something. So these are, and that's where you find suddenly infrastructure in Portugal is so amazing. Infrastructure in Spain is so amazing. So I think if as a company, because what we are looking for is companies that are willing to invest in this transformation, you know, the digitization or the technological upgradations. I'm just wondering, I'm sure you guys have some plans on this, but you must consider this, that a lot of companies, and maybe sometimes you should suggest this to companies, that the EU grants for digital transformation is very high and very lucrative in all these countries. So this is, I don't know if the company has thought about it, but it certainly, to me, compared to the U.S., because in U.S., the government really doesn't do anything. The companies are doing it on their own, which is great. I mean, they're growing. But here, there is a ready, available stream of revenue, and which the companies, sometimes they may not even, so if you can suggest to some companies that, and then first of all, find out about, maybe my knowledge is just from the outside, because it was offered to our company in Spain, that if you want to do digitization, here's a 10 million euro grant. So I think this is something, I don't know, you say you're in manufacturing, you're in all these other sectors. There's a lot going on in these areas. So just wanted to bring that to your notice. And the margins are pretty good. I mean, with the euro at 81 or something. So I think the margins there also are good. Anyway, so I guess... from everything that is being told to me.
Amok, your suggestion is very good. But, you know, traditionally we have started our business from the United States. And that is the market we have really known well. We have existing large number of customers, a good customer base. Yeah, there are some grants which are available in some of these EUs, but you know they have their own challenges and bureaucracies which go along with it. And truly, you know, like US is a very large marketplace. In Europe, we have to go to every country. So right now we are doing United Kingdom, and probably we'll go to some other countries as we go along. But there's always a little cost of entry.
You're already
shy away from.
Mr. Reki, you're present in Europe, right? From what I understand, in Poland and in some of these countries, Computerus has a presence. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's right.
We are selling into those countries. I mean, the Computerus customers are there in Poland, in Romania, and some of these, Switzerland. So that business we are doing, what is our percentage? Sorry, 35% of our business comes from Europe.
As of now, 20% of our
22%.
Yeah, 20% business comes out of Europe, and Bhavuk, your suggestion is good, but I think what I understand
but when you say it's not fair to say 20, because it may be better if we say EBITDA, because if you are having a margin on 50% of your business of, let's say, 12%, but on the other 50% of your business, you have a 3% margin, okay? So the OPD business, which is out of Noida, you may be operating at 8 or 9% margin or 10%, whatever that may be. And then you have Computerus, which may be operating at 1% margin. So the Europe business could be 20% of your business. But the kind of business it is a very low margin business. So my suggestion to you is that if you start doing the kind of business that you're doing in America, and you know, the next time you're looking for an acquisition, you know, if you consider in Europe, because we have tried twice in Europe, we bought that Cento or whatever before, and which again turned out absolutely flat, because that was a sort of a different, if we do our consulting, our core consulting, and this, the new analytics and digitization kind of work that we are talking about, if we do look at Europe for that, then it may be something which is worthwhile exploring, because then you can, right now you may be doing 20% of your business with Europe, but most of it is the commodity or this computerist kind of business, right? I mean, that's my understanding, unless I'm wrong on that number.
Yeah, it's a good suggestion, Bhavuk. I think we will need to internalize it and then I think we'll consider that.
Anyway, I'm just hoping that this quarter you will have improved margins, not just because of the dollar, but then the new associates that you've added should show in the revenues and in probably better margins, because the revenues will aid in the and the ramp-up costs. Are you expecting some other ramp-up costs this quarter? Are there other projects under ramp-up right now?
Not major, Bhavuk, I would say. But I think with this 150 people added and with the sales funnel which and the new order we have received over last 2 months, I'm equally positive, Bhavuk, and that we should improve upon our margin. The rupee depreciation would be kind of an add-on, I agree with you, whatever additional, but I think utilization and volume growth should help us improve our margin.
Okay, all the best to the whole team, and I think 10% is a good start in revenue growth, so we are hoping that you can only compound that over the rest of the year, and maybe after a long time our systems can have a great year. So that is my wish for everybody, and talk to you guys again soon. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time, you may please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Reiki for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
I want to thank everybody for joining this conference, and we really appreciate the questions and the suggestions and the comments that you have given. I want you to know that we are always willing to learn and accept some of the good advice that you give us. Thank you very much, and that brings us to the end of this call.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of our systems, so that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.